Hi, Baba.
أهلين حبيبي، كيفي؟
Today's video is going to be a little different. I posted a story asking my followers if there was something they wanted answered in depth, and I feel like that would be a good video for us to do because then we can tackle so many different things.
Ya Allah.
All right, are you ready?
Always.
Bismillah. Dad, I told you let's screenshot, like let's pick the questions, and now I have so many to go through. So I'm just gonna stay stop.
Bismillah, stop.
Okay. We answered this one. Okay, this is a good question. How to protect myself from getting used by others and how to believe my guts. Another one is how to differentiate between my gut feeling and misunderstandings. I get that question a lot, even though I've answered it multiple times.
You want to answer this?
To differentiate between anxiety and your gut feeling, we said this before, that your gut feeling is the first innate sentiment, pure, yes, it comes with extreme clarity. It's the first thing that comes to your mind. And everything else that comes after, that's fighting it, negating it, going against it, that's anxiety, because that's every what if and or but coming at you like a machine gun.
Absolutely. And how to?
And how to protect yourself from getting used by others. So in this case, she's saying, كيف أحمي حالي? So how do I protect myself from being used by others? And how do I trust my gut? So I think she's trying to associate the gut feeling with protecting yourself from being used.
Because you need to use your gut feeling to see if you've been used by others or it is within the norm of human interaction, of give and take. How to do that?
I would say 9 times out of 10, if you have a gut feeling someone's using you, or if you're doubtful someone's using you, 9 times out of 10, they are.
Yeah.
So you need to, actually, if you want to really break it down, so they might, because you could also be, bismillah, am tuzlum, or thinking too negatively or too paranoid, because I know a few characters like that. If you do have a gut feeling that someone is using you, ask yourself why and break it down. So where is this feeling coming from? What are the actions that have shown you that they're doing this? And if the, you know, where there's smoke, there's usually a fire. So if there is smoke, there is a fire.
Very much. It is also important to define the cycle of give and take, because usually when somebody is using you, he's taking something, your time, your money, your effort, your attention,
whatever your energy,
it is, your energy,
your resources.
We need to understand that there is no giving before we take. We start.
There's no giving before we take?
Yeah.
Okay, elaborate.
We start as pure takers. We are born as takers.
Yeah.
We take. We take care. We take love. We take attention. We take our mother milk. We simply take. And then we grow gradually into the process of giving. You are supposed to end your life at a stage where you give way more than you take, and you're happy with that. Define your existence and define your limits.
I will say one little thing. I disagree that we solely take when we're born.
What is it that we give?
We make a mother a mother.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like the blessing that is a child, it comes from God, but there is a huge giving there.
I understand.
Do you get what I'm saying?
I understand all of the emotional and what you call holistic state of, but I was talking about pure.
I understand. Yeah. Okay, go on.
But I'm glad you added that. It's actually a very valuable aspect.
Yeah, because especially بالعالم العربي, I think in the Arab world, a lot of men and women will agree with this. Parents have this tendency to حملك جميلة إنهم خلفوك. So there will be this whole like, I brought you into this world, and it's just like, I'm going to stop you right there. No one forced you to have children. And also, it's a blessing to have a child. I feel like I always need to reiterate this, especially in today's day and age. It is a blessing to have a child.
That is very much true. And you can testify to the fact that, at least from my side, that was never something that was taken against you or used. Like, I brought you to this life.
Yeah.
It's your right to be brought the way I was brought to this life. Mm. This is not for negotiation.
Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying. Okay, so the question was, bismillah, how to protect myself from getting used by others, how to believe my guts. How to protect yourself, I think it's, and this, I will bring this up multiple times throughout this video. I think people really need to stop living half-truths.
Absolutely.
Half truths are a state of delusion, and half a truth makes the entire, even the half that is a truth, a lie. So if you're having this friendship or relationship, I don't know the context in this case, with this person, and you feel that you are being used, and the thing is, people tend to come up with excuses. No, but they love me. No, but they've been there for me before. That is half a truth.
That's half a truth. If you feel you're being used, then you are being used.
Exactly.
Just let go and try another.
Yeah.
Or go and re-examine the barrier, the borders, or the mechanism of the interaction.
Hmm.
And if you put the mechanisms in front of the other person and say, this is what is happening, and they react with aggression, with anger, with blame, with the victim mentality, then get the good news. You've been used.
No, if you set boundaries and the person opposing you...
Then you've been used.
Yeah. If you set boundaries and the person you are setting boundaries with has a negative reaction, immediately begins to blame you, starts to play dumb, wants to point the finger right back at you.
Gaslighting, what do you call it?
I know, oh my God. Immediately, that is a person you need to drop.
Absolutely.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no, but they've been in my life for I don't know how long. That is a person who does not respect boundaries.
Then enjoy your victim state.
Literally, like, get it together. Okay, that's a good one. Bismillah. So I had a lot of, many a question about... What do I do when I'm with a man who says he loves me but doesn't treat me right? I'm not joking. Thousands. When thousands around this premise.
This is...
I will have to add.
Please.
But daddy, I love him. So it's not just he loves me. She's also saying, but I love him.
This is like bringing the antithesis of two polarities and trying to squeeze them into a bottle and say they will, I don't know, I'm trying to come up with anything that makes this state of falsehood clear in the mind. No, if somebody loves you, he treats you well.
Yeah.
But treating you well does not mean pampering you all the time, because
yes,
one of the tricks women fall for is being pampered by a man. That can happen for a short time because he knows what he's doing and he knows what he's getting out of it. Sometimes loving a woman means to stand the ground and protect her from her own entitlement.
Yes, of course.
But does he treat you all the time in this manner? Or there is, let's say, the complete array of human interaction between you and him.
Okay, I understand that. But the question is, Bismillah, or the questions, the premises of it was that, you know, he either lays hands, gaslights.
Doesn't love you.
Of course he doesn't love you. So this is where I'm trying to say people need to stop living in half-truths. And I mean it, especially when it comes to relationships. He treats me so poorly, so harshly,
doesn't
so one, two, three. And then you want to continue to say, but he says he loves me. That's a half-truth and you're lying to yourself. And we also, this is where I will say, you need to take accountability for the hand that you played in your own suffering. So you're saying it yourself, that he treats me poorly but says he loves me. Now, who do I blame in this case for you remaining there? Who
you.
Is at fault for you, you staying in that situation?
You.
Entirely.
And I would add one thing.
Go for it.
If he looks like he's attached to you and he wouldn't let go, it's not because he loves you.
It's because you've been the gutter which he spews his
thank
venom
you,
into.
Thank you. You are an addition to his egotistical
of
existence.
Course. You're his outlet because you're an outlet that allowed
thank
him
you.
To spew his venom. It's
but wait till he comes over that moment and he dumps you or you dump him. And you'll see how he goes in his way very, very quickly. Or he might have this sick attachment and sick obsession with you. Which might lead to harassment, chasing,
stalking,
and God forbids even criminal acts. Because you're not an individual for him. You are an extension of that sick ego that he
yes,
carries around.
Of course.
Be careful. Be really aware of that.
Yeah. That I also, so I fully agree with what you're saying. I really want to emphasize the woman's role in remaining in that situation. Because with the messages that I've gotten, and there is... There, you cannot deny it. There is a level of self-awareness if you are sending me that. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes. There's a level of, no, I understand that something's fundamentally wrong here. Yes. And I understand that he's not treating me right. And I understand that this has become borderline toxic. Now, where... call it victim blaming, sure. I don't care. You need to acknowledge the hand that you played in your own suffering. Now, there is a level of self-awareness and you've acknowledged that you're in a relationship that's toxic and he's not treating you right. And you remain. So who is to blame at this point? You. Now, what do you do here? It no longer has to do with what he's doing. This is where I'm saying, now at this point, it has nothing to do with how he is. It has nothing to do with how he is. He is the way he is, and he has been from day one, right? And you might have been blinded by it, being love-bombed, yada, yada. Now we've reached the point where you've woken up and you're like, something's wrong. So me as Layla, what I'll tell you is, he means nothing to me now. I don't care for the abuse that he's inflicting. I care for the abuse that you are accepting.
Please do not try to change a man. He yes. is what he is.
Yeah.
If he's abusive, regardless of how many times he promises you he will change. And this is coming from a man.
Yeah, of course.
He will be abusive for the rest of his life.
For the rest of his life. And I will add another thing, because I've had also some of my girlfriends call me with certain things that they're going through, and very, very real things that they're going through. Very everyday things that women will face with men and vice versa. And I said one thing, and I will say this truly, I'll say it from my chest. If you compromise now, and I'm saying compromise negatively. It's not the compromise where it's a beautiful, give-and-take, healthy relationship. I'm speaking in the negative sense of compromise. If you compromise now, you will compromise for the rest of your life.
You see, you need to set boundaries and boundaries of time. I'm going to give this that much of time. I'm going to give this that much of trial.
Not always.
If you are being kind of not sure,
okay,
of the situation.
Grace period, fine.
A grace period.
Fine.
And then you need to take action.
Affirmative action. Affirmative action. I really wish I could just tell girls, just do it. Just set your boundaries and set your standards and just abide by them. Set them in stone.
I'll tell that to girls and boys. I'll tell that to
men. I know,
but
we're answering the question of a girl here. So that's why.
You see, there is an issue with women. They tend to leave relations much, much higher than men do, which is because men can tolerate.
You mean women give up sooner or like back out sooner?
Yeah, they change their mind. There are many psychological factors that go on.
Yes,
that.
I understand.
That's why I will not go ahead and openly encourage women just to dump and because there is this tendency to title actions. Like, he's narcissistic,
he's
aggressive, he's this, he's that. But in reality, none of that.
Yes, now, the labels are being thrown around way too easily these days.
Yes,
I totally agree.
But I want to make it clear, we're talking about really, genuinely abusive relationships.
Yes, yes, yes.
So because I don't want this to be used as an excuse for...
to just give up and just not work hard at something that is worth giving it the
Thank
time
you.
To. I fully agree.
Thank
I fully
you.
Agree. Now, something that I will say, just to help to close this question, because it will help you get out of something bad you're in now, and it will also help you in the future not get into something bad again or to begin with entirely. And this is something that I've really put into a clear vision this past week. And this applies to men and women alike. You need to set your non-negotiables in stone. So you need to pick a day where you know you're feeling good and your mind is clear. It's not being fogged up by any emotion or problem that's taking place in your life. And you need to sit down and you need to set your non-negotiables in stone. Now, don't ask me an example of a non-negotiable. This goes back to you. Non-negotiables can be anything from how a guy speaks to you, to the value he adds into your life, to the value he also allows you to add into his life. Because a non-negotiable for me could be how I want to love a man. You know what I mean? And if he does not accept love with grace, that's also a non-negotiable. So you set your non-negotiables in stone. And what I mean by in stone, I mean that they do not waver based on your emotions. That means you could have been with him for a month, a year, pregnant with his second child. If this non-negotiable is not being met, you need to take a serious step back, because they don't waver based on your emotions. Emotions tend to cloud a person's actions. It's when we tend to color red flags pink and yellow and blue, and non-negotiables are non-negotiable.
Or the contrary.
What do you mean?
Where we see imaginary risk and imaginary situations where where a simple act of a man or a woman is being taken completely out of its...
out of context and to an extreme. Yes. I agree. But non-negotiables are different. Non-negotiables, Baba, they're clear and they have nothing to do with like a little example or whatever. A non-negotiable, it's very clear. It has to do with like the bare minimum of how you expect to be treated, how you want to be treated, how you also want to treat your partner. Non-negotiables, it's not those little things. A non-negotiable is a non-negotiable.
You remember when you were a young girl and I used to tell you, don't tell me that man loves me.
Show me what he does for you.
Show me exactly. Yeah. Show me what love means for him. Because if you love, I used to give you this example. If a man loves a woman, he gives her the best he has.
Yes, of course.
If you love a criminal, God forbids, he will come and bully others for you.
Yes.
He will.
I understand what you're saying. Of course. Of course. But do you understand what I'm saying by the non-negotiable? This is where I will be really honest with you. At least on my end, what I've seen women go through, this is where they get lost. They think they have their non-negotiables and it's just haki bil-a'de while they're sitting with their girls. I want a man to do 1, 2, 3 for me. And they think, khalas, they know their standards and their morals. And then a dude comes, barely ticks a few of those boxes. A few other boxes are gray and murky. A few other red flags arise. But then because their non-negotiables aren't set in stone and feelings have already entered the chat, we don't know what to do anymore. So solid advice. I will say this very, very clearly. Men and women alike, set your non-negotiables in stone. And your non-negotiables, when it comes to a partner in a relationship, do not waver based on your feelings. They do not change if it's been a month, 2, 3, if you're in love or you're not. Non-negotiables are non-negotiable.
If you allow me, I would add a simple point to that. Means is that people find themselves into relationship and then they start to set those negotiable and non-negotiable. But in what happens is you picked the wrong...
partner to begin with.
Exactly.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
So if you have clarity of what you want and if you have clarity of what you can give and what you are capable of giving and if you have clarity of what you expect from the other person... Mm. You will, because you know we take the wrong decisions under a sense of desperation.
One of my most viral videos.
Yeah.
Mano.
Wait, it's just like, oh, if I let go of this chains, where am I gonna find someone like her?
Yeah, where are you gonna find someone to abuse you? Wallahi, I'll throw a rock in any direction and find 10.
I remember my child at 9 or 10. Coming home crying because his crush left him for another girl, for another boy, I'm sorry. And I'm like, come here, come here, sit. Tell me how many women in the world, huh? And if you're going to tell me that out of those, I don't know how many billion females there, that's the only one you will find right for you, you have a serious problem.
Yeah, of course.
See, believe in the generosity of the Creator.
I mean, I always say this, life doesn't start and end with this person who didn't treat you right. Life starts and ends with God.
There was a question about the cycle of...
I don't know how to find it. Okay, but just to wrap this part up, if you doubt he's abusing you and he's toxic, and if you doubt she's abusing you and she's toxic, most likely she is. But also define the parameters of what is actually toxicity and what is not. And number 3, before you enter a relationship, for the love of God and everything good in this world, set your non-negotiables. Know exactly what it is that you want. Don't waver with them. Your non-negotiables are set in stone. They don't waver based on your emotions because your emotions change every other minute. Thank you very much. That wraps up part 2. And this question. Which question were you asking about?
The cycle of start. Yeah, why is
it? Wait, I think I sent this to you as a screen. This was one of the questions that we liked. Okay, da'iyah, bismillah.
To start again is not a sentence of death or
ooh,
something like
yes.
that.
Oh, yes. Why is it? Why starting over isn't a death sentence?
Oh, yes. Why?
That's the sentence. I love this question.
That was the question. Yes.
Yeah, why starting over why isn't not a death sentence? Because... And I actually have spoken about this before. If you have the opportunity to start anew and unlearn what you learned before and maybe perhaps have a better life than you've lived based on your limitations and your wrong mindset and ideologies, that's a gift and a blessing. Why is that a death sentence?
Our ego associates...
It's called cognitive resonance.
Very much. Mm. We associate losing with death.
Yes.
So if you lost a situation, especially with an emotional loss, when you lose a partner,
yes,
there
yes.
is a sense of void and death there.
Mm.
But I'm talking about loss in general.
Yeah.
Loss of your work, loss of your company, loss of your business, loss
a
of...
A friend, whatever
A friend,
is.
Loss of... You see, the minute you understand that life is a cyclic...
Cyclical
gift.
Yes.
It's there are cycles that start and end.
Yes.
And one of my masters once said, it's compartments, it's rooms beyond rooms. You go from one room to the other.
And it's never ending.
But when you are in a chamber or a room, you think that the walls are the limits.
Yes.
But it's not.
Yes.
You'll move to the other room, and it's not a room, it's a hall.
Yes.
You move to the other room, but it's not a hall. It's a palace.
Yes. Can I add to that as well? I think it's also very egotistical to think that starting over is a death sentence, and I'll explain why.
Absolutely.
Because you think that everything you knew was the ceiling, like you said, and the limit, and the ultimate truth. And starting over means you have to accept that you were wrong and perhaps there is a different way. And your inability to accept that and only recognize it as a death sentence is an extreme egotistical attachment to your limited mindset that has clearly failed you.
Which is a form of death. That has to die. So you see the life which...
Death sentence is different. Because a death sentence means there's no rebirth. There's no starting anew. There's no blooming and blossoming once more. Right? So I think that was the question of why people think sometimes starting over means that's it. 6 feet under, locked in the
Absolutely.
Grave, done.
Think of it as plants and their seeds.
Hmm.
We live in a desert area. Plants seem to either... It's a very natural phenomenon. They die by the end of the season and
yeah.
they leave behind them their seeds.
Yeah.
And that's the way life treats us. Regardless how old you are, the cycle is just starting and starts and ends. That's why in our tradition, if you know that it's the end of time and you have a seedling or a plant in your hand or a seed in your hand, go plant it.
Can I also add something else, Bismillah? I will say another thing just to answer why starting over isn't a death sentence. It's reminding me of one of my favorite quotes by Al-Mutanabbi. إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ مِنَ الْمَوْتِ بُدٍ فَمِنَ الْعَارِ أَنْ تَمُوتَ جَبَانًا. Life is extremely cyclical. You're absolutely right. You die in more ways than one every day if you think about it. And to me, if death is inevitable, if I see rock bottom and it's about to start over, فَمِنَ الْعَارِ أَنْ تَمُوتَ جَبَانًا. It is a shame to die a coward.
It's a shame to
accept
die a coward.
Accept it. And it's ego. Cowards are the most egotistical creatures.
Absolutely.
So I'll take it. Kill me and rebirth. Let's go.
Allah.
Because there's a whole new world out there. And that's how I got to where I am now. Every part of me had to die to get to where I am now. And it is... I can't emphasize it enough, the most beautiful experience in the world. And then I also had to accept, and this is something I'm very, very grateful for, I refuse to be weighed down by a past that no longer belongs to me. Even though it is very much my past, and this is where people, depression arises, they're very attached by a past that no longer belongs to them.
Alhamdulillah.
Does that make sense?
Very much. Very much.
So that is why...
I hope that
starting over is not a death sentence. Okay. Another question that I actually sent you personally. Why do people overlook all the good you've done for them but only emphasize a tiny mistake that you've made?
Isn't that what we do with God?
All the time. All the freaking time.
And then why do you...
All the time.
Why, when you treat it once like most of humanity treats God, you're
I'm
so
looking
angry.
Angry and I can't because I get very angry when it comes to this, but I need to relax my face muscles.
I do believe that this is a way of the heaven reminding us how do we deal with heaven, and by heaven I mean whom you consider as your Lord.
I mean, I will say another thing. This is very true. Actually, this is very true. Let's go into that a little bit more. With my video with Bismillah, my interview with Kareem from Kun Rijal, sweet, sweet guy. Very, you can see he's very keen to learn, very eager. Just also trying to fight all the ideologies. Because his soul, you can tell it's searching and yearning. And it's just also fighting all the ideologies that have been shoved down our throats by the West that for some reason we've adopted. And I mentioned this, that the day I went to his interview, I had been thinking about quite recently, people who succeed. Because I was saying about myself, I credit everything to God. This is something you've taught me. كل شيء منيح من الله. Everything good is from God. Everything bad is from us. I have accepted this. It is the way I am, and I'm very happy with this. That being said, it really made me think, because I like to take things a step further, people who don't believe in God, or are quick to blame God, like you said, and just the second something bad happens, blame, hatred, God, you know, all of that negativity. When the good happens, do you credit yourself?
Of course.
Do you, this is me. This is all me. Of course. People who don't believe in God, truly, like the ego to credit yourself for all the good that you've,
and those who
that claim, has been blessed into your life.
And those who claim that they believe in God too, immediately their ego takes over. By the way, that was not my teaching, that was the Quran teaching. مَا بِكُم مِّن خَيْرٍ فَمِنْ مَا بِكُم مِّن خَيْرٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ وَمَا بِكُم مِّن شَرٍ فَمِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ.
It is the nature of a person that you need to look out for here. And since I have prayed for God to keep himself in my heart, because I am always in his heart, to always allow me to remember him and not forget him, the way I view people and the standards in which I tolerate or allow people into my life have changed. And there is an ayah in the Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبَهُمْ. And I pay attention to this. If I mention God and I don't see your heart soften, I don't see you take a step back and humble yourself, you serve no purpose in my life. I cannot be around you. Because if God does not humble you, I'm not the one who's going to humble you. Absolutely. You're not going to take me into consideration more than you're going to take your Lord and your Creator. So if you see people treat you this way, see how they are when it comes to monumental things that are beyond their control, like God. If they don't humble themselves, if you don't see that tremblance in their hearts of, this is bigger than me, they don't care about you.
The norm with the mass, the norm with most of people, is that they will...
Why am I crying?
They will pick the smallest of your mistakes and exaggerate them. And they will pass by the greatest of your deeds, and they will just act like it is not there, especially if it's related to them being the receiver at the other's end. Now, it is your job to put the limits and how much you can carry and where the line stops. I would advise everyone to be a giver and to tolerate people and to forgive and. But I would also would remind you that also your nafs, you, إِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقٍ, you have to always look at your own self and not harm it in the process, because you would be asked.
I understand. I also think, I fully agree. There also needs to be a sense in, because this is a question that I got a lot, and I think that's why I shared this to me, because one of the things, and it is, honestly, it might be the most predominant question that I get, because it has to do with relationships, with friendships, with work, with everything, is how do I gauge, is this a good person or not? Do I entertain this person or not? Do I keep this person around or not? And that's why I shared that, because I've reached a point now where, you know, a lot of the comments that I get are, you know, we're such complex creatures. And I'm going to stop you right there. You're really not. That's why you can be profiled down to a T. There are neuroscientists and very smart people out there that can profile you down to a T, down to the nightmares that you have. So you're not that complex, right? And to me, take it a step further. How do I gauge? I will take it back to God. It's the only thing that works for me, and inshallah, it is the only thing that will work for me until the day I die. If you do not have God in your heart, you don't have place for me.
The concept of uniqueness in the human being is true. Every human is unique, but the uniqueness is not in your average behavior. It's in your soul.
Yes.
Now, that's been ignored completely, and people act exactly the way other act, think exactly the way other think. They get their main intellectual or paradigm of brain set from the media, and then they come and say, I am unique, and I am in what aspect? You tell me as the essence of humanity. I agree.
Yes, of course.
In your behavior, in the way you carry yourself, in the way you interact with others. No, you're not.
No, you're not. Yeah. So just to answer the question is why do people do that? Now, why they do it, it has to do with ego. Like you said, they do it with God. I wouldn't necessarily concern myself with the why. I would concern myself with what is my job in this situation when I am being treated as such or being presented with such a person. Like I said, for me, I fully agree with what you said. This is how they behave with God. Then I'm going to take a step back. Now, my final answer would be, I wouldn't concern myself with why do they behave this way. I would concern myself with what is my job in this situation. And personally, my final answer, if you are in this situation and truly time and time again, it's been proven that you've been such a giver, and then this person just focuses on one flaw because at the end of the day, you are still human, drop them. They serve no purpose in your life. Remove yourself from the situation. It's now, this is why I'm focusing on the self-awareness. You clearly have enough self-awareness that you've picked up on it. So now I no longer blame the person for the atrocities that they're imposing on you. I blame you for allowing yourself to remain in this unforgivable situation.
Congratulations, at least you see it. Most people just cry. And
I used to say this because they tell you being aware of it is 99% of the problem. But I've realized I don't do that anymore. Being aware... fine, dime a dozen. Taking action.
You wouldn't take action without being aware. But just being aware and stop there.
But most people are just aware and stop there.
No, they're not aware. Because genuine awareness...
At least, you know, I'm talking about the people who follow me and who've sent questions. Mm-hmm. There is, honestly, I have to give it to them, there is an awareness. They have asked some very interesting, beautiful questions. So there is an awareness. So I'm answering this person now specifically, and anyone, because this is answering that question. So this is answering people who have asked themselves this question. So the awareness is there.
Well, I would... let's put it...
Do you get what I'm saying? The awareness is there.
Let's put it in a different way.
Go for it.
Awareness has multiple levels.
Go for it. Okay. Yeah.
So it's just, oh no, I know there is a problem. Thank you.
Thank you. And then.
And then.
Yeah. So that, but Daddy, that's literally what I'm saying, Papa.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but that's what I'm saying. So I wouldn't concern myself with the why are they doing this. And it's also the previous question of they say they love me, but they're mistreating me. I don't, why? Now that there is enough self-awareness and you've asked me this question, so you are acutely aware to the atrocities that are taking place, it is no longer about the why. It is about what do you do in the situation that's being presented at hand. So now I no longer care about them. I care about you and why you're accepting it. Why are you playing a hand in your own suffering? Walk away. Okay, actually, this is a really good question. I think it's from the trailer from Kareem's... video. Why do you advise women to be with a man that brings them closer to God? Break it down, please. That's a good question. Because I said, if there's one piece of advice that I would give for women when they're looking for a man, your number one priority should be he needs to bring you closer to God.
Allah, tell me why.
I truly believe that a man should lead the household. I believe we are only able to be in our divine feminine and to be the most womanly woman we can be when a man is level-headed, has his head on straight, and can lead the household in his divine masculinity. Now, that can only happen if God is in his heart. And if the man is leading the household and God is in his heart, you cannot help but be influenced by him. He leads by example. God, therefore, is even further embedded in your heart. Now, that being said, I personally want to learn from my husband, inshallah. I want him to lead by example. I want to be open to learning new things. And to me, those teachings have to be divine. They have to be Muslim, very, very Islamic in their essence. And... we had mentioned this before in an episode with Neetu. If a man is talking to you with God in his heart, he's talking to you as a gift. He's talking to you as the woman he prayed for. He's talking to you as this is the woman that God made from my rib. The way he approaches you is different. The way he handles problems are different. The way he goes about every little thing that has to do with you is different. And this is why I emphasize God so much, because if you are truly seeking God, you seek him in everything. So you see him in your partner.
Absolutely.
What about you?
You know,
why do you think I said that?
Tell me.
Knowing everything you've taught me, truly, why do you think I said it's the number one thing a woman needs to look for in a man, that he needs to bring her closer to God? Because I will just say one tiny thing. There's a Maya Angelou quote that says, a woman's heart should be so hidden in God that a man has to seek him to find her. And I abide by that when I say your partner and your husband, who is the leader of the household, needs to bring you closer to God. Because if you, to begin with, were so enthralled with God that he could only access you by being with God, what a match made in heaven. So why do you think I said it, given everything I've just said?
Alhamdulillah. You know, you want me to answer that?
It's not a rhetorical question. I am asking you, given what I just told you and everything you know about me and everything you've taught me, and obviously you know me inside out better than probably anyone in my life, why do you think I said that?
I think you said that because you genuinely, you knowing you from childhood, you are a very, very spiritual woman.
Alhamdulillah.
And all those states of your growth and where you thought you could find any form of completion or happiness or, well, I tried my best, but in reality, I always told you, this is your path and you finally come to it.
Hmm.
And it may sounded like so impossible then, especially when I am 12 or 13 and I just want to conquer the world.
Yeah.
But, and I always told you, with God, you will find success, you will find happiness, you will find, and it's not gonna deny you access to any of those leisures.
Yeah.
And on the contrary.
Absolutely.
It will give you the clarity of your mind.
Absolutely.
And your heart, because what is the use of amazing achievements if you are contaminated internally?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Actually, if I'm going to take it a step further, and the question would be, why would you be with a man who does not bring you closer to God?
He's going to bring you closer to something, but what it is?
He's going to take you straight down to hell. That's what he's going to do.
You
guys are going to take each other straight down to hell. That's exactly what's going to happen.
And hell here is not the religious hell. I'm talking about...
But I mean, I'm going to be really honest with you. Dunya wa akhirah.
Yeah,
here and later. Because if this life could be a living hell. And anyone with the wrong partner, man or woman, will tell
it's
you...
Hell.
Hell on earth.
It's hell.
Hell on
Living
earth.
Living with the wrong partner is really hell.
Absolutely.
Subhanallah.
Absolutely. So yeah, absolutely your partner should bring you closer to God. Absolutely your partner should bring you closer to God. It's a non-negotiable. That's one of my non-negotiables.
The actual, you see, how to say this and not to sound too...
Sound whatever you want to sound. The people who want to get it will get it.
The main reason behind this matrimonial relationship,
being in a marriage, yes,
being a couple in any form or shape.
Come on.
The main reason is to come up to that state of unity.
Yes.
And that state of unity enhances, empowers, and brings you so close to God.
Amen.
If you find a couple, regardless of how many years they are married,
yes,
and they're still feuding and arguing and fighting, and then God is not in the they're
God's
really
not in the picture. Yeah.
They're really
it's their egos that are in the picture.
Exactly.
Their ego is their God.
Exactly.
Exactly. Here's the thing. We all worship something or someone whether we choose to admit it or not.
Absolutely.
So if you do not worship God, then you have worshipped some other form of entity or creature or human.
It could be energy money. Or whatever.
It could be money. It could be your partner, which is God forbid you God start forbids. Worshiping your partner. It could be your career. It could be your materialistic things. You worship it whether you choose to admit it or not. So your energy is worshipping something. Shit, I'm a bit. No. Pick your heart.
Pick your heart.
Pick your
heart. And where it goes.
And where it goes. Absolutely. Because when the piper comes knocking on your door and you have a price to pay, blame no one but yourself.
Allah.
I fully agree with myself. I do. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah. But I will just say one thing is that I wanted to say something. I can't remember. It will come later. Okay. This is a beautiful one. The hate and shame towards yourself for some things you have done in the past. It's a beautiful one.
See, don't be too egotistical. Because if you really think you are beyond mistakes, if you really think you are something that shouldn't do mistakes, you are actually giving yourself a state of
divinity,
which you don't deserve.
Can I add to that a little bit? Because I don't necessarily think it's just thinking that they're beyond making a mistake. That is very prevalent in today's society, absolutely. The inability to clearly go like, I messed up. I think feeling shame is not necessarily the worst thing in the world. I think taking a moment to marinate in your mess up and recognize where it came from and why, and the punishment needs to fit the crime.
I'll tell you this. We are all khata'een. We are all prone to make mistakes.
I mean,
small or big.
Absolutely.
لكن نعمل خطائين التوابين. The best of them, because you acknowledge it, you don't acknowledge it, you don't want to. We are all in a state of خطأ.
Yeah.
لكن نعمل خطائين التوابين. You just need to acknowledge and seek forgiveness and continue. You can always make it up. There are thousands of ways to make it up. You just cannot make it up if you are at the last breath of your life and you're going to go.
Yeah, when it's too late.
Then it's too late.
I will also add something else. It's how to get over the guilt and the shame of something that you, a mistake that you've done in the past. And I say this time and time again, change the lens from which you view things. God truly, truly tests the ones he loves the most. The more he loves you, the harder the test. If you failed and you've done something horrible or you messed up, take a step back and go like, wait, God loves me so much that he tested me. I failed, right? You can go from, there is a different route that you can take from there. At-tawabin means repentance and astaghfirullah and acknowledging the mistake and wanting to do better.
I would give an advice.
Go for it.
Acknowledge that you made a mistake. It's huge. It's huge. It's huge. I don't know what it is, but it's so big. All right, what can I do in my few days, years, or centuries that I'm going to live to overcome those mistakes?
Yeah.
And write a small list. Do you know, sometimes just standing there and talking to somebody in a humbling way means the world.
Of course.
Yesterday, I had a very small encounter. Mm. I ordered a fast food delivery. And the guy came. And he gave me the stuff. And it's only 84, 85, 80, 20 dirhams. And I had only 500. Mm-hmm. So I gave him the 500. And he's like, why you didn't tell me? I don't have change. I said, it's okay. Change it whenever you have, you can. Oh, but I have other deliveries. I said, it's okay. Change it whenever you can. So he gets his driving license and he gives it to me. And he says, keep this till I bring the money. I said, no, you keep it with you. And if you don't come back, I'm forgiving you. God forbids, just be safe.
Yeah.
He came back and I could see the emotions in his face.
Yeah.
Like, It's a very, very simple thing. You just made the human being feel valuable. Absolutely. Valuable and trusted, and I got my money back.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. Just go ahead, regardless of what you think you made wrong, man or a woman, and just take some certain vows, commitments in yourself. I'm going to be nice to every human I meet, especially those who are not being blessed in life.
I get it. That's a way to kind of make up for that or replace the shame with a more positive action and emotion.
Yeah.
I will also say, ask yourself the intention of your shame. Is it shame of people or is it shame and humbleness in front of God? Because I used to feel the shame of people saw my mistakes. People saw me fall from grace. People saw me mess up. And that kept me a slave to the shame and the victimhood, no matter how much I convinced myself I was good and I kept it moving. But when my shame became more so humility in front of God, سامحني, you bestowed so much upon me and into my life, have graced me and blessed me with so much, and I still messed up. Forgive me. That shame turned into fuel to do better for him and by him. So check the intention of your shame.
And don't you ever think that as long as you exist on this earth, you will not do mistakes.
Of course.
You're giving yourself a status and a claim and a position that is strictly
for the saints.
For very, very, very few.
I mean, that's a beautiful one. How we believe in some verses of the Quran only for our selfish purposes and ignore the others.
Oh, the religion has been always manipulated and hijacked. It's Allah Jalla Jalalu says, يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِيمَ عَمَّ مَوَاضِعِهِ. Be careful. Whom you're serving with your religion?
Of course.
Are you serving your God? Are you really, just if you're really seeking God, genuinely, in your heart, seeking God, He will lead you.
I've said this time and time again, if you take one step towards God, He takes 10 towards you. If you truly humble yourself enough to say, I'm yours, do use me. You know, one of the nurses in Gaza reached out to me and we were talking and he was saying, Ya Rabbi, استخدمني ولا تستبدلني.
Wow.
And I thought that was really beautiful. It means God, use me and don't replace me.
Because it's very easy.
Because He does not need you. Absolutely. I don't think people understand truly just how much they need God, and God truly does not need them. Genius. So be a vessel, be used in the best of ways, because if not, He will replace you and you will regret the day you ever thought you were untouchable.
Do not brand people, do not categorize people, do not put people in hell and in heaven because they meet your expectation. Absolutely. Or do not. That is not your job, that is God's job.
Absolutely, and don't think you're untouchable because when matkhabbet, He will find you.
He will find you.
Anyway, khalasna baba. Thank you so much for today. Wa alaikum assalam.